What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time on this morning's program for us to take our Friday morning look. Our last look for this week, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Ministry of Health reported on Thursday that 487 new COVID-19 infections were reported in the last 24 hours, bringing the accumulated number of cases to 770,463. According to the epidemiological report, no deaths have been reported in the last 24 hours. The accumulated number of deaths remains at 8,180. The health authorities applied 6,132 tests for a positivity percentage of 7.9. There are 3,133 active cases in the country, of which 3,066 are in home isolation and 67 are hospitalized. Those in isolation are divided into 3,048 at home and 18 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those hospitalized, we have 57 patients in the wards and 10 patients in the intensive care units. The Minister of Health, Luis Francisco Sucre, declared on the morning of this Thursday that Panama is experiencing a fairly stable situation regarding COVID-19, but stressed that this scenario is not for the health authorities to stop worrying about the virus either. Sucre recalled that according to the Pan-American Health Organization, the PAHO, after a country remains below 5% positivity, it indicates that the new coronavirus is under control. Panama experienced this scenario for 4 or 5 weeks. However, the positivity rate has increased almost imperceptibly, and even this Wednesday, April the 20th, it was registering 7.4%. That takes us out of the area that the PAHO has stipulated. However, thank God, Panama continues to evolve, the official told TVN News. He reiterated that the current situation does not cease to worry them as health authorities, but he recalled that in Panamanian health facilities there are almost no patients. Sucre stressed that the Panamanian population has continued to use the mask outdoors, despite the fact that it's no longer mandatory. Everyone has to learn to take care of themselves and reduce risks, and know where to use biosecurity measures. He added that this type of behavior will eventually cause President Laurentino Cortizo and the health authorities to take measures. The plenary session of the Supreme Court of Justice did not admit an incident of recusal presented by Shirley Castañedas from Ricardo Martinelli's team of lawyers. This is against the attorney in charge, Javier Caraballo, within the lawsuit of unconstitutionality, which was presented by the lawyer Hector Herrera against the resolution of the 22nd of March of 2022 of the Electoral Court that rejected the lifting of the criminal electoral jurisdiction of the former president. The information is contained in Edict No. 465, posted at the headquarters of the General Secretariat of the Court. Caraballo issued an opinion in the lawsuit filed by Herrera, in which he considered that the decision of the Tribunal Electoral Magistrates Heriberto Arruz and Alfredo Juncker is unconstitutional, because it violates 5 articles of the Constitution, Numbers 4, 18, 32, 142 and 143, numeral 3. Well, given that both issued a statement on a subject totally outside their competence. The ruling that dismisses the appeal of Martinelli's lawyer under the presentation of Magistrate Mario Eugenio López used Article 2571 of the Judicial Code as a legal basis, which establishes that, quote, they are causes of impediments, kinship within the second degree of consanguinity or first affinity with the plaintiff or with his attorney having dictated the accused act or intervened in its preparation or issuance, and have the magistrate, her spouse or any close relatives within the fourth degree of consanguinity or second of affinity interest in decision of the case. These causes of impediment are applicable to the agents of the public ministry, and that in this case, this is not fulfilled. The anti-corruption prosecutor, Leda Sainz, presented before the Judicial Office of the Accusatory Criminal System of the First Judicial District an indictment against 11 people for the alleged commission of the crimes of embezzlement and money laundering through the management of funds assigned to Federations of Sport of the Panamanian Institute of Sports, Pandeportes. In the indictment, the prosecutor signs charges were filed against the former deputy of the Panamanista Party, Adolfo Valderrama, accused of the crime of money laundering, and the former directors of the Pandeportes, Roberto Aranjo and Maria Perez, were charged for the crime of embezzlement. Also filed charges for alleged embezzlement against the former manager of the Baseball Federation, Anibal Relus, and the president of the Basketball Federation, Gia Peralta. Other defendants are the former deputy of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, Jaime Pedrol, Jorge Luis Dutari, Ana Virginia Tejada, Beatriz Mercedes Herrera, Ulrich Raul Rone Arruz, and Cesar Ramirez Tejada. The investigation began back in October, in fact, October the 30th of 2018, as a result of a report by the newspaper La Prensa, which reported a series of irregularities in the management of funds and delivery of sports equipment by various sports federations and organizations. According to a report from the Comptroller, between the years 2014 to 18, $59.9 million were delivered between 133 disciplines, foundations and sports leagues. The Electoral Court, Tribunal Electoral, confirmed on Thursday that 3,920 signatures were registered on the first day of the process to request the revocation of the mandate of the Mayor of the District of Panama, José Luis Fábrega. Of the total number of signatures collected by the organizers of the initiative, 3,734 were entered on the TribunalContigo.com platform, another 112 on the kiosks authorized by the entity, 66 at the Tribunal Electoral Headquarters, and 8 in the application that the activists of the process have. For the initiative to be successful, 198,920 signatures are required in a period of 120 days, which began on Wednesday, the 20th of April. Until midday yesterday, Thursday, it was reported that the number of registered signatures was up to 5,668. The tools available to the Electoral Tribunal for the process of collecting signatures are the regional offices of the District of Panama, Tribunal Contigo platform, which is www.tribunalcontigo.com, the 40 multi-service kiosks located in different parts of the country or through mobile devices that have the application with facial biometric validation. A Chiricahuan doctor and a Dominican merchant who had his business on the Paso-Canoa border will have to remain provisionally detained in the David Public Jail. This was after a Chiriquí Court of Appeals revoked the periodic notification measure. The two men were apprehended through the Quixote operation, coordinated by the Prosecutor's Office Against Organized Crime, for their alleged participation in a money laundering network through agricultural businesses, liquor stores and other economic activities in the region. The Prosecutor Against Organized Crime, Octavio Nicolau, managed to establish the existence of sufficient evidence that proves the commission of an alleged serious crime and whose sentence is more than 4 years in prison. In addition, Nicolau argued that there is evidence in the involvement of the accused in said illegal activity. While a woman in the province of Chiriquí maintains a precautionary measure of personal notification for the alleged crime of illicit association to commit a crime, last week, in a mixed hearing, a judge ordered the provisional arrest of 4 more people, including a woman, for allegedly engaging in money laundering. The operation arises from August of 2021 when the FBI alerted the Panamanian authorities of the operation for money laundering crimes of a group of people where a farm was bought for $450,000 and high-end cars paid for in cash. The 7 people were apprehended through simultaneous raids in the districts of Boquete, Dolega and David. The operation also arrested 3 Costa Rican citizens who are about to be deported to their country because they are allegedly involved in a criminal network dismantled in previous months in their native country. President Laurentino Cortizo returned Bill No. 776 to the National Assembly, which includes a modification to the mandate revocation procedure, which would benefit 15 dissident deputies from the Cambio Democratico Party, the CD. President Cortizo partially objected as unconstitutional Article No. 12, which also modifies the Electoral Code. After analysing the bill, the President concluded that the aforementioned article, which adds Article 438A to the Electoral Code, is contrary to the Constitution by establishing that political parties may not expel or revoke the mandate of deputies by decisions approved by the majority of deputies of a parliamentary faction. Well, President Cortizo also considered that Articles 138, 150, 151 of the Constitution indicate that the deputies represent their representative parties in the National Assembly, which in turn express political pluralism. The President recalled that the Panamanian Constitution stipulates the grounds for revoking a mandate. He explained that the Magna Carta establishes that the parties must establish the grounds for revocation of mandate in their statutes prior to an election, for which it is prohibited to issue laws contrary to the letter or the spirit of the Constitution. The bill was approved on the 17th of March by the plenary session of the National Assembly. The proposal, originally presented by the Electoral Court to reform some administrative powers contemplated in the Electoral Code, received 43 votes in favour, 10 against and 1 abstention. The deputies of the bench of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, and the CD supported the norm. The Amador Foundation, which manages the Biomuseo, asked the Ministry of Environment, Mi Ambiente, to analyse deeply the 50-hectare landfill project on the Amador Causeway and its negative impact on the area's biodiversity. In a statement, the Foundation stresses that the landfill threatens Amador's status as a visible icon of our biodiversity, its mission to protect it, and its value as a world-class tourist destination. For example, they mention that a cement fill would forever change the geographical configuration of the strip, this strip of land, and it would take away its historical, environmental, and social value. We call on Mi Ambiente to deeply analyse this project and its negative impact on the biodiversity of our land and our seas, says the note dated this Thursday, the 21st of April. This month, an environmental impact study was received by the entity for the development of a 50-hectare landfill in Amador in the district of Ancon, which will be enabled for a theme park, a public beach, hotels, leisure, a business area and a marina. According to the environmental study, the project will be called Amador Maritime Development and the promoter is LGS Panama Tourism Development SA. Although the development supposes 50 hectares of filling in the sea, the environmental study specifies that the direct area of influence of the project compromises an approximate surface of 156 hectares defined by aquatic and terrestrial areas. Marcela Galindo took office on Thursday as President of the Board of Directors of the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP, being the first woman to hold this position in the 107-year history of the Union. In her first words after taking office, Galindo recalled that when she finished her studies at the age of 23, she chose to take up a position in the former National Environmental Authority, ANAM, and recounted how proud she felt at the idea of helping build a better country. She recalled some of the great achievements that the country has achieved hand-in-hand with joint work between the public and private sectors, such as the development of the new constitutional title of the Panama Canal, improvements in the quality of life of Panamanians in energy coverage, access to telecommunications, opportunities in the maritime and construction sectors, opening to international trade, development of the banking center, the City of Knowledge, and the Panama Pacific Special Zone. These are examples of what we Panamanians have known how to do when the executive, the legislative, society, and the private sector dialogue with respect and adopt consensual legislation. Galindo wondered if that same 23-year-old student would have chosen a public institution today as her first job option, and if the relationship between the executive, legislative, and private sector has been maximized for the benefit of millions of Panamanians. Well, despite my optimistic calling, I'm afraid the answer to both questions is no, she said. She expressed her commitment to work on long-term issues such as education, the administration of justice and transparency, the elimination of discriminatory lists, and the modernization of public services, among others. As president of the chamber, she said that she will promote a work plan focused on education, entrepreneurship, and gender equality. As the first woman president of the chamber, she said that she will dedicate time and energy in the effective creation of spaces for the participation of women in the business and union world. The business leader called on the representatives of the executive, legislative, and businessmen to leave behind the politics of division and to walk the path of consensus, respect for opinions, and joint work that has given us so much success for the benefit of the Panamanian population. And that's it. There we go. There's our look, our Friday morning look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you this morning on The Breakfast Show.
What's happening locally? The news.